back to the Challenge Final Reckoning podcast for episode 3. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Ali Leisure. Ali, how are you?
Brian, I have a problem.
Oh, no.
And I can't even be bothered to ask you how you are, as I normally always do.
Is the mouse back?
No. I overcommitted us with chief party officers.
Yeah, we have like 7.
Oh my God, I have to give a shout out. You know, ask and you shall receive, except in our case, ask twice and you shall receive.
We need to start asking for like better stuff so people like will do that, not just this. Like, who wants to just send us like $1,000 every podcast video? Anyone want to sign up for that one?
Let's like not get ahead of ourselves. We did have to beg for this. That's true. Then the first person I saw, you know, first come, first serve, I also didn't expect that anybody was actually doing this. Also, I have this weird thing about Dane. For anyone just joining us this season, this is Brian's friend who almost always subs for me if I'm off. And he is one of my favorite podcasters. And part of it is that I never get to listen to a challenge podcast because I don't listen to my own, usually. Sometimes right. I'm feeling self-indulgent. I'm not going
to
lie to you.
That's true. You said didn't you say you listened to the first one?
Yeah, I did listen to the first one. It was fun. I enjoyed it. Sue me.
It was a good time.
But I like have this like weird feeling, maybe because obviously I never podcast with Dane, that Dane, it's like how I feel about Akiva too. Like Dane doesn't like me as much as I like him on a podcast level. So when you told me that he was willing to do this, I just ignored it because I was like, nah, he's not doing that with his time.
Right.
But then I said yes to the first tweet I saw without scrolling up and seeing that like 5 other people tweeted at us.
And what's funny is we
just said yes.
I just got a DM from someone else who said they would do it, and they sent me a whole list of the things. So that was as of 1 minute ago. We got even more.
Okay, well, who was that? Because I'm going to at least shout out everybody who tweeted. That was your first mistake, is DMing Brian.
Well, to be fair, I told them to. But I should have said DM you. That was a bad call by me. At TC... VIC 933. Tania Coleman.
Oh, yeah. No, they did tweet at me too. I just pulled it. I didn't know what to do. So I just pulled the tweet as a thank you. Because I don't know what we're going to do. Robbie Friedman tweeted with a count of how many things happened. I thought that was good. And then I thought that was it. Then I see Kyle Picard also responded with a count. Then hand size is all that matters? ? On the name there. That might disqualify you from being chief party officer. Also gave us a count. And Tanya Coleman was like, I've added my own contributions. Too long for a tweet. I mean, what I like is our audience has a lot of partiers.
The fact that what it shows to me is that we have at least 5 people that listen, which is honestly like 2 more than I would think going in. So that's fun.
Plus me.
Right. All right, so we're at 6.
Yeah, we're basically crushing it.
Basically. We deserve a daytime Emmy.
So basically, everyone keeps sending us your party counts until you get sick of it, and I'll go back to having to do it.
Yeah, there we go. I haven't thought of a new one yet, so I'm going to try to think of one like off the cuff as we're doing this to see what pops up.
All right, well, I came prepared, Brian.
All right. Well, that's because you're you and I'm me. So.
I was going to ask... No, I'm completely kidding. I'm a scrap of a human being. I was going to ask you...
That's so sad.
I was going to ask you if you had one.
No,
should we not
yet.
Kick off the show? I feel like it's good to kick off the show. Now I'm just heckling you because you don't have one. I'm like, if I keep pressuring you to have one, maybe one will... Should I say mine?
Sure.
All right, this is going to be maybe what you would have come up with if we kept talking about it. Mine is anytime someone refers to themselves in the third person with a self-given nickname.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's going to be big. Don't drink and drive, people. If you have operating heavy machinery after watching the challenge, please do not participate in this drinking game.
Yeah, our girl Cam is going to be all over that one.
And now here's the real question. Does bananas count?
I mean, if he refers to himself as Johnny Bananas, then yeah. But I don't think he's not a big third person talker.
I could see it happening.
I mean, I could, but I don't think it's as often as Kill a Cam.
I thought about doing it anytime just somebody says somebody's self-given nickname, including themselves. And I was like, that's going to be too bad.
Well, this wasn't a nickname, but Tori sneakily talked about herself in the third person and complimented herself in the third person.
That was my favorite part of the episode.
Hysterical. It was just like, you know, Derek asked, you know, he struggled his first season. And now he's partnered with someone who crushed it their first time around. It's like, oh, wait, that's me.
That was truly my favorite part of the season, excuse me, as a whole so far. Because at first, when I see them flash to Derek and Tori, I'm like, oh, Derek is already killing my Tori excitement. Like, he used to be, I see Tori on the screen, I'm excited. Now I see Tori and Derek, less excited. Until, yeah, she's like, he's got a lot of to prove to me because I'm an amazing partner and I'm going to put more faith in myself.
Yeah, I just thought of one. Anytime that they flash up on the screen a tweet or an Instagram post that caused drama.
Our listeners are screwed.
So there we go.
Everybody has to take a blood oath right now to play this drinking game during the finale.
There we go.
If we could
during the finale, why don't we do it every week? That's
because then we'll have the completed game.
But then it like builds upon itself. So you play it every week and then you keep getting more and more.
Yeah, everybody be drinking amongst themselves.
Plus, as we remember, the finale sucks, so none of this stuff's going to matter in the finale.
God damn, you're right. When you're right, Brian, which is often.
Yeah.
I'm a scrap. Can we call this a love triangle when it's like really just a line segment between Kara and Kyle and everybody else is gross? Yeah, everything else around is gross.
It's a middle school like hatred that they're going around trying to like get attention by like the adult version of a middle school like relationship.
I'm going to jump really far ahead, but is this Kara's worst season of the challenge?
She hasn't come across great in like anything so far, especially because she hasn't. I mean, they only had like the one challenge and they didn't do particularly well. So normally that's where she would shine. So if we're just focused on Kara's social game, which is usually never great. That's not a good look for her. And her whole thing with Marie, I mean, such like a pickle because I really don't like either of them. So like I keep enjoying them one upping the other one, but then I find myself rooting for that person. But like, no, I don't like them either. So it's like I don't know where to turn.
I thought that was like the biggest garbage. That scene with the Marie thing is when I thought to myself, okay, I'm declaring this Kara's worst season of the challenge. Because like, yes, you don't like Marie, whatever, but you are Marie's partner and there is nothing to be. She's like, oh, I'm throwing my partner under the bus. You're throwing yourself under the bus.
Do you think, here's my tinfoil hat. Do you think, you know, she just had like the biggest win ever. She just won, what was it, 350,000 last season. So she's already started whatever she wants to do, her gym, whatever, whatever. She maybe thinks to herself, I'm not going to win this season. Like Marie stinks. I'm not going to win. So I'm just going to like go down in flames and just have a lot of fun doing it.
That's fair. But I feel like with the challenge, you never know what's going to happen. Like they could separate your teams and now you're individual. Like you just don't know. And I think it's foolish for someone like Kara, whose brand is being a beast competitor, to not do everything she can despite Marie. Like I feel like it would be a better look for her, but maybe you're right, she doesn't care, she wants to come off as this villain. Her Twitter persona, not that you can see it, Definitely goes in line with that. Maybe that makes more sense for me as a viewer. It's frustrating to watch.
She needs to start taking a page out of the CT book. They work together, you get Veronica and Marie to fight. And there you go.
That killed me. It's just so funny because like there are things that CT said that if Banana said, everyone would be, including me, would be like, what a dick. But or excuse me, what a jerk. But
excuse me, we're not allowed to curse on this.
I don't know, I'm trying to clean it up. Okay. But but everyone can do it. You drink amongst yourselves and curse amongst yourselves. But like CT saying it somehow doesn't come off as terrible.
He's got the charm.
And I think he's right. That would be his best case scenario now is that that would be my best case scenario, though now Polly's gone. But that Veronica and Marie fight, not enough to get hurt, just enough to get kicked off.
Yeah.
And then he's got it made in the shade.
Yeah, but knowing MTV, like what they do to one eliminated team doesn't mean that what they're going to do to another. So who the hell even knows?
I think we've entered it's a new dawn. Fighting gets you gone.
There we go.
But what you're saying is, I did pick up on this with Natalie, like, and that supports your point, that Natalie says to Kara when she's trying to convince her to like leave Polly alone, like, I actually need this money. Like, I know you don't, or you keep coming back or whatever. Like, Natalie's here for the money, or was here for the money. And I guess Kara is here for her career, but I don't feel like this is very on brand for her.
It's not, which maybe, I don't know. She's I think she has to think she's like the heel. So I don't know. Maybe she's trying to embrace that. Who knows?
What do you think of Polly's performance with Kyle? Anyone who forgets from the week ago that Kyle and Brad, we left off Kyle and Brad are the power team. We don't exactly know what that's going to mean. And they have a meeting.
It was an interesting spot. I guess that's where all like the powwows. I miss when they used to have like the dinners and they would give them like pizza and wine. I kind of wish they'd kind of like break that out just like for all time's sake on this little like patio. But the way they were like building it up, they're like, Paulie's like really like put a target on his back. I didn't even realize that was even the case. I didn't think he was even doing that much other than like just denying Kara like her advances. I didn't realize he was doing, he was running his mouth so much until they explained it. But going in, I was kind of left in the dark.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think that it's a matter of him denying Kara's advances. Like, I think we're seeing like Paulie's confessionals denying Kara, and we're seeing Kara telling Kyle that nothing happened. But I think from Kyle's perspective, like, they're flirting and Paulie's reciprocating, and that's her boyfriend, quote unquote. That doesn't mean he's justified. Everyone's an idiot involved in this situation. But I actually shockingly thought Paulie did a pretty good job here. Like, it was not a horrible performance. Even though it didn't matter to Kyle, but Kyle's not playing with his brain. Kyle is playing with, like you said, his like petty middle school crush.
Mm-hmm. It was very interesting. Like, this is like what like feeds a lot of elimination votes, is like this type of stuff. So this was like, I feel like we got like the full story. Like, this was like the first like 12 minutes of the entire episode leading up to this whole drama, which eventually play out with the vote. So I actually thought MTV did a good job of flushing this whole thing out.
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like we definitely got the people who were trying to infuse like a little bit more strategy is going to say being more strategic. Where Paulie's saying like, look, you hate Shane. Why are you like balking on the fact that your real vendetta is Shane and we don't really have a problem except for Kara? And then you later seeing Brad saying like, we don't know how this elimination is going to happen. Maybe we don't put in such a strong team. And you really just see like even Kara telling Kyle to try to get the heat off of Paulie. But her motivation is not strategic. It's to just save her little buddy and piss off Kyle.
Right. But what's interesting about the challenge is like a lot of the quote-unquote strategic thinking is strictly about that. It's strictly about like who's hooking up with who's fighting with who likes who. Like, it's not like, you know, survivor strategy. Like, that doesn't like really blend itself into the challenge very often. Like, this is the strategic thinking. So this is kind of interesting to have that.
Well, I think it's interesting to have it going more off of this, like, sort of like Romeo and Juliet, like, bitter exes, I don't know, romance thing, as opposed to, okay, CT and Tony and Bananas are going to have each other's back because they're friends and Kara is friends with them. And, like, instead of it being, like, I don't know, it feels like a little bit more strategic because usually the, like, power players are already friends, so they're respecting their friendship relationship, but it's also strategy because they're big threats. Whereas here, like, the driving factor is just two people trying to make each other jealous.
Right. And the driving factor is that they're each like partnered with people that they like or at least would sort of want to work with, where this is just like an individual season or even like teams, you're just voting in like a certain one person. Like, the votes should be a lot cleaner, but, you know, because we're basically doing rivals for, like, this kind of lends itself to these types of awkward situations.
Which is very interesting, actually, because I feel like all of the votes of the people who, like, really were players here were dictated by one person on the team, right? Marie, like, tried to make that deal with Kara, but at the end of the day, Kara is going to get her way. Kyle was really in the driver's seat with him and Brad. Like, Paulie's screwing up him and Natalie. So it's almost not even, like, they're coming to any sort of agreement. It's just one person, like, steamrolling the other so far.
Right, which, yeah, I mean, I feel like that's going to be the way it plays out. Right. There's going to be one dominant person in the team, unless, you know, the other person has, like, a clear reason why they're doing a vote. Usually there's going to be, like, a one person kind of leading the ship. But, I mean, we also didn't see full conversations. Like, I assume probably, like I don't know, Zach and Amanda probably had, like, a decent conversation about it, but I'll see how it plays out.
Right,
right.
What do you think? Like, I'm asking us to step back before we knew how this was going to work out. What would happen if they each got a different, like, at first when they were doing private votes, I thought they'd each get a separate vote.
Oh, like each individual person within a team?
Yeah.
Mm. That would be interesting. That would be like, so you would just have like double the votes. But then, yeah, the way it would play out, it kind of wouldn't work for that. But
yeah, no, later it wouldn't have worked. But like Marie and Kara would never vote together. And it would just be interesting to see if they could get their votes to align at one point. But I think what they're doing is more interesting than that. But
I mean, I'm all in on this. I think it's great.
This is really stupid because I'm going to talk about Amanda and Shane. But Amanda says, like, Shane will always have her back. Do you think that's foreshadowing, or am I, like, trying to be too literary because I had a book club meeting yesterday?
I think it's probably not foreshadowing. I think they actually are friends, especially because I just can't, envision a scenario where, like, Shane is in a position of power and he goes, like, against Amanda and Zach to save someone else. Like, I just don't see where that comes into play. I think they are just genuinely like this close.
The only thing I could see it, and I'm sure we're going to have a lot of conversations about the way this is going to work out. Cause don't add us. Neither of us really have had time to think much about it. Is if like Shane, I could see Shane being like three steps ahead, convincing Amanda and Zach to vote for one team and then them not voting for them themselves. Like, I could see Shane orchestrating a vote so that Nelson and Shane don't have to vote for that person. And it's screwing right. Amanda and Zach. But, like, that would be very specific. But it just generally, like, that could be a way to play this out.
Right. Or even, like, if Zach and, Zach and Amanda want them to vote for someone and then, like, they don't come up as, like, when the beams go off. So, I mean, there is a way that it could, where they don't deliberately go after them, where it could be Shane screwing her over.
What was foreshadowing is all these conversations between Natalie and Cam.
Yeah. This is something we talked about last week about, you know, we thought the friendship would kind of trump the hatred. And I was like, look at Natalie. She's doing exactly what I said she would do. She's putting the friendship of Cam above her hatred of Kaylee. But that, the first chance it came to it, that did not play out.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking forward from last week to hearing Kaylee's reaction, and I was hopeful, obviously incorrectly, that she would have some remorse for what she did to Natalie. And it seems like we're both ill. This is embarrassing. It seems like, you know, she's just justifying it. She's finding some way to justify what she did. Like, oh, well, like, I didn't want to take the blame for stealing a man from her when she doesn't even like men. It's like one thing to say, like, I exposed the relationship was fake. Like, if Kaylee was on Instagram last year saying, like, they're not even together, it's for publicity, whatever, fine. Like, that is a fair thing to say, like, they're not really together if that's the case. It is still not a justification at all for what she did, and she just took no ownership of it. So it was, like, pretty frustrating to see her triumph.
Yeah. Like, I thought we would kind of get this conventional last week when it first came up. I guess they just pushed it off to this week, so we got some more explanation. But, yeah, the explanation did not do her justice at all.
Yeah, and that's, well, we'll see how you feel at the end with this, but I don't know. I still don't know how I feel about the elimination, but really quick question for you from listener Allie Lasher. Do you think that CT and Veronica are the layup team this year, as CT says?
I don't think so, because I don't think anyone will view CT as a layup in any capacity, especially when they see that, like, at least based off this first elimination, that, you know, having it's going to be a partner thing, so you don't want to go against CT in any capacity and have him run train over you.
Yeah, I was gonna say this elimination is the perfect thing. Like, if I were CT, I would have been stoked because CT would be doing the bungee, Veronica would do the puzzle, which she's really good at, and they would have beasted both of these teams in a second.
Yeah, it's not like a scenario where it's like, you know, you could pick one of the people to go in, or if it's like it's a multi-sex like elimination, the girl has to go against the girl. So like, if it's a girl elimination, like, you don't like going against Veronica. So I mean, I don't see any way that they'll be viewed as layup.
Yeah, it was like kind of frustrating to hear CT keep saying that, because I was like, you're not, nobody's saying that but you.
I did kind of like just having CT and Banana just kind of kicking it on a chair, reminiscing about, like, you know, the old days. I wish they had like a little cigar. I don't know, that's how I envisioned it.
It was a cute scene, but like, isn't it annoying if you're CT and Bananas is trying to like complain about Tony?
I know. It's like, oh, Tony, he did too much steroids. He's too beef and strong now. He's like, I got Veronica. I think she just woke up from a nap.
I can't wait until like they stop this forced narrative and like they have Bananas and Tony make up.
I think they're going to try to push it as for this entire season. I think, and not until next season will they be able to drop it.
I mean, am I allowed to say I can't wait for the end of the season? Sure. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm enjoying the season overall.
2019.
If we're lucky. Right. So, what else do we even have to talk about?
That, like you said before, and Angela.
Well, just before we got on, you're like, this was just an extended 3-episode premiere. Yeah, and this
was a 3-hour premiere. That's what it was. Because we finally got our first like elimination, so this is like the clear first end of an episode. So this is why, going back to the first episode, and you asked me like, do you wish that they didn't eliminate as many people as they did in the first go? I'm like, whenever they have a chance to eliminate people, just eliminate people, and we'll deal with the fallout after.
No, and that's totally fair. But I would always, and I know you feel this way, like I would rather see just one person eliminated a week than 6 people eliminated the first episode and then nobody eliminated for 6 weeks.
Right. But that's like people asking Survivor to have a season without twists and idols. It's just never going to happen again. So you might as well just like move past it.
Those people are wrong.
Right.
Yeah, let's talk about Bonangela, because I love Bonangela, even though we only got 2 seconds of them.
Yeah, they're fun. I don't know. I guess I'm a sucker for that, but I'm like Charlie Brown with the football every season. I'm going to believe in them. They're going to fight over in between seasons. They're going to come back. But now it's be like, we had a big falling out. We're never going to talk again. And then we'll pick it up with a new girl, whoever's coming in for the next X on the beach.
But I think what's better than what makes Bonangela better than Bananaly is that they're both vocalizing that like they're using each other. And it doesn't seem like, I feel like Angela is like a less frail figure. Like, I don't know. Like, people were like, I feel bad for Natalie, or she's just using Bananas, and there was a lot more backlash. Like, I feel like Bananas and Angela are more equally matched in terms of their ability to manipulate each other. Like, when Shane was like, Johnny is manipulating Angela, I'm like, Angela could take care of herself, like, bully that.
And again, it's, as we said with Natalie last season, it's a mutually beneficial relationship for both. Like, they're both getting votes and protection and safe. Like, it helps both of them pretty equally.
I think we're going to have fun with them. I hope we get more than these just little clips, but I'm enjoying the clips.
I just hope it ends horribly and we get Angela going absolutely berserk.
Amazing. Like, that would be incredible.
Incredible.
Here for Bonangela all the way. Like I said, I still stand by this. If there's Bonangela gear, I will purchase it.
I mean, I've been calling MTV to make gear for freaking 10 years, so.
Oh, you think MTV would make this? I'm talking about Bananas' freaking self-promotion site. Let's be real.
They'll go right next to my bobblehead.
So let's talk about the thing to talk about, right? Like the moment of the hour, the man of the hour, TJ, comes in and we find out the format for the season.
Yes, we learn the winning team is safe, as I think you mentioned last week, but they also get 2 votes, which in case you weren't aware, Allie, that means they could put 2 votes on 1 team. I just want to make sure we're clear on that. Paulie had to lay that out. And then everyone else votes in secret for 1 team to go into elimination.
See, I was distracted when Paulie was saying that because his neck is like the thickness of his two of his arms put together. Did you notice that?
I didn't. I would say I can look out for next week because he's in the redemption now. So
it's so bizarre. So I knew that they cut to him to say something, but I don't know what it is. Like my notes are like power vote, 2 votes. Paulie's neck is huge. And yeah, kudos to the bus driver for knowing the route that everyone's vote would be in secret this year.
I can't believe I got that right. I don't know what led me down that brain, but I landed on the right track.
So many things to ask you. I feel like I should wait till we talk about Armageddon. Maybe we could talk about this all at the same time.
We can roll it up into one.
All right. So then set up how Armageddon works.
So the person who is then voted in, which is not revealed until the elimination, as they brought in the light beams from Are You the One, one of them goes off underneath the person's feet. They're voted in. And then they get to vote in one of the teams that voted them in. Barring if one of the teams that won, they're still safe, so you still can't vote in them. But any of the other teams that voted for you, you can vote them in.
Okay. So first of all, kudos to the special effects people because the beep boop boo is incredibly used. Yes. I thought that was very exciting.
Very exciting.
What do you think about this? I don't know whether to ask you overall or if we should go like, you know, Noah's Ark style, two by two, like bit by bit.
Well, I think it all ties together. So we have to kind of take it as a whole, the secret elimination, but it's not secret because it's revealed who's voted in, who votes for the team that's voted in. And I guess from there, you could probably narrow it down. So it's not really secret, which I don't like. I kind of would almost like it if we could spin it off. If the only people that know who voted them in are the team that got voted in, and then they just pick one of them in secret, they get voted in, and then no one else knows who voted in for them.
But
that
like,
I kind of would like.
I think this episode was incredible the way it played out, but we cannot now get that again because right. Everybody knows the votes are in secret. I get what you're trying to say, but I don't even think that works, right? Because then you're going to know the person who voted for you, you voted for is going to know that you voted for them. And that's the most critical piece of information. Like, yes, as like a casualty, the people who didn't get voted in are going to be able to figure out maybe of a few people who voted for them. But the worst thing is, are the people who actually went in.
So the bigger question is it worth not just having person who finishes last goes in and then you do the secret ballot for the other person, or the secret ballot sort of secret and then the losing team gets to pick someone? Like, what would you rather?
So I feel like there are a couple other things I want to answer before that. I think it's a fair question. I think this works incredibly, but once you do it once, I don't see how this is going to work moving forward. But I think my biggest issue is if you, the winning team getting two votes and being immune from the first round and the second round is confusing to me. Like, I almost feel like that's too much. And I know that that's like a paltry amount of power compared to the last few seasons, like a power couple has gotten. But if you vote, like in this situation, with the house so divided, there were only three other teams to choose from because the power couple had the two votes and they're also immune. Like, I'm wondering how it would work if the power couple was only immune from going in the first vote.
And then they could be turned around and voted in on the second. I think if you win, you should be safe that week. I think like that is like a foundational thing on the show that I think should hold strong. You're safe.
What I haven't been able to fully think through is it's almost like Top Chef, right? When you're dividing teams of four for like mise en place or whatever, or for restaurant wars, and you pick somebody who's got immunity from the quickfire on your team, and only three of you can go in. Like, because somebody's got, they have two votes, they can put the person in and end up having just like two teams or even one team to pick from.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not going to be till really much later in the game, I would think. That's when we're down to like.
Yeah, well, not now, but I'm just like, I don't know. It just felt like Kyle and Brad were such a big driver of why they went in. And then the other three. I mean, it was fair. I'm just, it's again, it's not a fully formed idea, which I probably shouldn't say into a microphone. But something is not sitting well with me. And whether it's the two votes, maybe I feel like they should just get one vote if they're then not able to get picked.
Right.
I'm not sure. That kind of seems arbitrary. Like, why does they're immune and their vote double counts? Like, okay. I don't know. I didn't love that. But moving forward, I think that this is going to become confusing to some, like, casual members of the audience when it comes to the, like, they're going to be playing, like, 3D chess in terms of, do I cast my vote for who I don't think is going to go in so that I'm safe? Do I take the shot? Who do I trust to actually make the vote they're saying they're making? And then you just get screwed where you could be up for elimination. How much
finessing
are you trying to do to like make sure your relationship is good with the person who's going in? But then you're going to cut their throat. Like, it's interesting, but I just think people are going to be playing really scared.
I mean, the thing is playing, if people play scared, like it only takes like a few to play scared to flip a vote. Like if you know, you're supposed to only have like four or five on a person and then two of them are like, I don't want to do it. I'm going to toss a vote on X. And the couple other votes land on X, then all of a sudden X goes in. So that's why you could play scare, but it's also like that could turn around. You could be voted in because of it. So I think it's like a fun layer that they like. It's a totally new thing. So I think this will be fun to see how it plays out, just because like no one really knows how it'll play out.
I do. I like it much more than I don't like it. I thought this was really exciting to watch. I'm excited to see what happens. So don't get me wrong there. When I say playing scared, I don't mean like a hinky vote or a burn vote. I mean like choosing to vote in a weaker team. Like I don't really understand. I don't think that this will accomplish what they want it to accomplish in terms of avoiding burn votes or layup teams going in.
Right. Which then brings me to like the question, would you rather person that finishes last automatically goes in and then all votes are secret because just whoever goes in is the other team, or this?
I like giving the pseudo underdog team, presumably the team that's going to get voted in this format, the power to call their own shot back. I think that is interesting, especially I think there are deep enough hatreds, like legitimate hatreds among some of these people that, I mean, you debate between whether or not Natalie picked Kaylee because they really hate each other, because they were also probably the weaker of the teams. But I don't know. Like, I think I would rather this for at least a season.
Mm-hmm. I think this removes a lot of the fun of the secret ballot, which is like, you know, we even saw here, like Bananas and Tony, like, oh, let's just vote Shane and Nelson to cause chaos. But like at a certain point when you're down to like, let's say even like 8 or 9 teams, and like, let's say if 5 or 6 of them vote for the team that's going in, and then TJ's like, oh, well, 3 teams got votes and there's only 2 left. Like, it's easy to narrow down from there, like who voted for who. I think it would be much more fun to have totally secret ballot, and then you could play it off like, oh, I did vote for you, or this person voted for you, and do all that rather than giving the fun of like, all right, you got voted in, you could pick your opponent. I think more times than not, you can like have such a hatred for someone, but you're just going to pick the like who you think is an easier team to beat.
Yeah, so
I
think it does allow for like more moves like Jordan or Devin moves, where it's like, no, I'm going to call you out myself, and hopefully we have enough like alpha people to get some of that. I agree. It completely undoes the secret vote, and it's going to it's basically like not having the secret vote. But I'm interested in seeing when you give the person in the elimination the power or what happens. So I'm willing to ride that out. I do hope that this lends itself to being them moving to actual secret voting. But I also never really had a problem with the burn votes. Like, everybody, including TJ, was always more upset about those than I ever was.
Yeah, I'm. It's not like I was even like that against how they used to vote. I just think this is a fun way to do it, but they didn't do it fully. Like, they still are kind of hedging their bet where they can see who voted for who, and then you can. I just wish they would keep it secret.
You know what else I don't love about it? And again, like, I thought watching it as a package, it was very exciting. I don't love that anybody can go in, and that people aren't getting like mentally prepared and everyone's got a pack. Like, I like that. I mean, I guess it adds more tension, but I always like the tension of the like one team who like knows they're going to go in and still has to interact with people for the night.
Yeah. And I mean, they could do that whole like thing, like at the house. Like, they just set up that beams up at the house and they can just do it there. Cause I agree. I think it's fun when you have the person stewing in like the house for the night or even the afternoon about who they're going in and then who they're going to go in against and getting their mind right. And yeah, I wish they would did that much more.
Which would be pretty interesting in the sense that you find out who voted for you, and then the tables have turned to the person who got voted in, to like people are going to have like power dinners with that person, but they'll be pissed. The one downside of that is people get time to think about it. And I think people make more like irresponsible vengeance based decisions in anger quickly than they would if they had the whole night to think about it.
Yeah, and just for myself, I can't imagine having to like basically live out of my luggage for like this entire time. That must just suck.
That's what I was thinking. I hate packing. I think so much.
Packing's the worst.
I think so much of why it like stressed me out when they said everyone has to pack every time is that like I put myself in the shoes. The people in the Redemption House are that's where it's at.
Yeah. You go there. You have your circus act with Charles and Brittany, and you watch them go at each other, and you just sit back and relax.
The other really quick thing about the format is I actually hate the long deliberations where the two people are in there like fake talking, like they don't know who they're going to put in front of the pictures. And then it's like very hard as a podcaster to take notes on like whose vote is locked in and whose isn't. And I mean, it ends up not mattering because they recount at the end. But right. I don't want to spend 15 minutes in deliberation with people who already know who they're voting in.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Maybe one day it'll also lead to TJ being like, and I'll get the votes.
Nick Sabetta says, as dumb as it sounds, would Marie's idea of voting for yourself actually work in some situations? If you think you're not getting voted in, why not vote for yourself and not risk having to compete in elimination?
Well, first, when she said it, it was preposterous. Like, there was no rationale for it. Even now, it doesn't really make sense because you could still toss a vote someplace else. That, like, you know, if you all think someone's going in, you could still, it's the same thing. You toss your vote someplace else and you're not risking other people tossing their votes at you, too. So it's still pretty dumb. But the first, when she said it, it was preposterously dumb.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I know you don't like Marie, but I think Kara is one of the first players and maybe including podcasters to really talk about Marie's game. Like, I don't know that we've ever considered what Marie's game really is. Mm-hmm. Do you agree when Kara says she sort of like over promises to everyone in the house because she basically said besides Pauly and Natalie and who else did she want in? Derek and Tori, that everybody else she has. And by she has, meaning like we're in an alliance.
Yeah, because I think this happened last year when she was in the Troika. She was like, I can't vote in this person, or this person. Like, I only vote this one person. And then they were like, no. And she was like, oh, well, I have everyone else's back. And then they're like, then you have no one's back.
Yeah, I think for Marie, it might more, and I don't doubt that she's like well liked amongst her friends or whatever. Like, she seems like I could be friends with her. I am Marie, but I think she thinks that more than she overpromises, I think she thinks that she has relationships that she doesn't. So, like, I agree she like overpromises, but everybody else who's like, oh yeah, I'll never vote you in, actually never would, because why would you vote Marie in? So she's making deals she doesn't need to make because she wouldn't be a target anyway.
Right. The only people want to have Marie there to go up against.
Right.
She is the ultimate layup.
Right. So I thought it was interesting to get Kara's perspective, and then I decided that I hate Kara even more for when she betrayed her own teammate.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I said. Even like when that moment when she was talking to Natalie and Tori about who Marie was voting for, it's like I love seeing Marie being taken down, but like Kara, I don't want to root for her. So it's a very difficult situation for me. It's not an ideal position.
All right. So back to the Redemption House truth or dare. Like, the fact that they're doing this just to push Brittany and Chuck, like, I'm glad I'm on the same page.
Charles.
I'm just glad I'm on the same page as everyone in the Redemption House. Like, we're all here to see the drama between Brittany and Chuck. I'm not calling him Charles.
I would love to see Brad's reaction to all this. I think it'd be hysterical to watch him. Like, they should have feeds of the Redemption House the opposite way, which, by the way, we didn't get any of that this week. So that was a fun twist that didn't really mean anything. The surveillance room, that didn't happen at all. But they should have a surveillance room to the Redemption House so Brad could see that.
Well, I think you are right that we're going to see the votes. And like, I think they're going to see how the elimination went, and they just didn't have one. Like, I do think we'll see it next week.
Oh, that's how I landed on it. That's right. I wanted the Redemption House people to see the secret votes. That's even more reason they should keep them secret. That would be even more fun.
Oh, I thought you literally just meant, like, I don't know how I, like, pulled that out. I didn't know you really didn't know how you... Because I knew
really
exactly how you did it. I was just going to say.
No, I really didn't remember.
On the topic of the Redemption House, Will Simon says, Brian, what's the weirdest thing you've ever been dared to twerk on?
I can confidently say I've never twerked in my life, so nothing.
Oh, you're missing out.
Yeah, so let's turn the question around.
No, so what do you think of Jose's
segue?
Daring Chuck to tell Brittany to, like, how he effed up?
I mean, they're just using these two as like their puppets to have fun. Like they like they're just this is pure entertainment for them.
I mean, not to be that guy, but like that's technically a truth, not a dare. So I don't blame Chuck for bailing. But holy crap. This is sort not that I've been waiting to see this because I've kind of liked Brittany, how she's presented on the challenge. But for anyone who wanted to know what Brittany was like on Are You the One? Here you have it.
I love how even like Devon and Jemmy, who are like, you know, a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs themselves, are like, this bitch is crazy.
I love when Jemmy's like, I love you, Brittany. You're my girl, but you're a psychopath.
You're a psycho.
To be clear, I don't want to watch like Brittany cheat on Brad or her hook up with Chuck. Like, I don't think they should be together. That's like not, I don't want to see them reconcile. But oh my God, like Brittany screaming, you never listen, Charles, is instantly an iconic moment, like akin in my life to Camilla walking into the pool. And like instantly, easily, way better. I regret saying that I wish that they didn't go home. Because this is the best situation for Brittany right. and Chuck is having them in redemption without Brad.
Yeah, we would never have gotten these conversations in the moments that they were just in the house. Brittany would be cuddled up with Brad the whole time and Charles would be on the other side of the house.
Yeah, no, 100% I can't with the Charles. But like, also did you clock that like, of course, Jenna is suggesting that Brittany put Chuck's bullshit aside. Like, because Jenna's still dating the guy
right.
that did the shit to her.
That's Jenna's top line on her resume is putting the bullshit aside.
Yeah, I mean, if I were her, I would just like get over it and compete. I'm like, yeah, if you were her, you would just still be dating Charles.
What's so funny is in the exact moment when I think it was Josiah and Devon were like, they're going to kiss. I almost said to myself, wow, they're about to like just make out right now. And then they said it out loud. So I was like, oh, that was weird.
Megan Elizabeth said sexual tension between Brittany and Chuck. Maybe it doesn't translate through TV because I'm not seeing anything other than hatred. So you see the sexual tension.
I think there's the fine line between hatred and love is right there.
As a hater myself, I don't agree with that, but I do think that Brittany is, I don't blame Brittany. Like this is a literal nightmare. Like Brittany got flat dumped when she like wanted to marry this guy, whatever, be with this guy. She like moved to Hawaii with him. She's like being cheated on according to her. And it's not great, but she doesn't leave. And then this guy just goes and abandon her and she has to go pick up where she left off. She finally finds a new guy and then he freaking shows up on the show she's on. Like, clearly she's not over it. Clearly she's really hurt. I don't think she wants to actively hook up with him and cheat on Brad. But like her feelings she never got closure. On the other hand, I don't really see that Chuck is like still into her.
No, but I think if Brittany was single, this would be a lot different.
Chuck's not single, though, either, I don't think.
Oh, Charles is... Okay.
I think there's Charles. A Mrs. Charles. Ms. Charles.
Ms. Charles.
Yeah, that's it on the Charles front.
The fact that we talked about the Redemption House for this long is, like, kudos to us.
The what shots?
The Redemption House.
This is one of the more exciting... I'm telling you, I said this last week, too. Brittany and Chuck are going to be the most exciting things on every episode, whether they're in the Redemption House or they're, like, Skyping in on the after show with Girl With No Job. Like, I will watch Brittany and Chuck all day.
Was there an after show last night?
No, but just, you know, metaphorically. I mean, I don't know that there wasn't, but...
That's totally fair.
All right, four teams get votes. We talked about how the Armageddon setup works. Let's talk about how it actually transpired. Angela and Faith get votes. I did love at the idea that Kyle put up Angela and Faith as a potential person to vote for after smashing the homie.
Yeah, they're very funny. So that would be something that he can't do. Like, he could do it for fun if it was secret, but that's also run the risk of these, like, throwaway votes is... You can't really do throwaway votes because everyone's going to find out. Which is, again, why I don't like revealing the secret, but I digress.
I would agree with you, except that I do think Kyle would still do it.
Probably.
So Joss and Sylvia get a vote just to remind you that they're on the show. Paulie and Natalie and Shane and Nelson with beep, boop, boop. Paulie and Natalie getting the most votes.
Yes. They didn't say, so I guess it was four, but really technically five. And how many did Angela and Faith get? They get what, like two or three?
Did they tell us how many votes each person got?
Well, we just know how many Paulie and Natalie got, but we don't know everyone else.
Right. Joss and Sylvia, we only saw one person even talking about.
Well, I wrote down as many of the votes as I could get. Yeah. So I know Shane and Nelson voted Angela and Faith. Angela and Faith voted Nelson and Chain. They didn't show who CT and Veronica voted for, but it wasn't Paulie and Natalie. And then Kara.
Wait, why do we know that it wasn't Kara and Natalie? Paulie and Natalie.
Because they didn't light up.
Oh, right. Whoopsie. I'm kind of surprised with that.
Yeah, they voted for Angela and Faith. Kara did. Bananas and Tony, they were the ones that voted for Shane and Nelson. Paulie and Natalie voted for Joss. And I think that's everyone.
Which is sort of like. I'm surprised. So you have to assume that CT and Veronica voted in line with Kara and Bananas.
Yeah.
But I just don't. Like, how. I don't. I'm kind of curious why they voted for Nelson and Shane over Paulie and Natalie. I feel like Paulie and Natalie would be a good vote in for the Banana side, unless they were afraid. They just wanted to see how it went beforehand.
Yeah, I think Bananas just wanted to vote for them too, to try to like pin it back on Kyle or someone else as like a cause chaos.
But I don't buy that at all, because then how are Kara and CT also voting in line with their quote unquote?
Well, they didn't. I think Kara voted for Angela and Faith.
No, I don't think that they did. They talked about it, but they weren't.
I think so.
Oh, you're right. No, you are right. You are right. You are right.
2 for 2.
Well, I have freaking 3 things written down between Marie and Kara debating it. That's why I don't like these deliberations. Just
I started with Kara and Marie. Again, having Kara and Marie combined is like wild. But I would start off with them being like they vote for themselves. And then went from there.
Wait, you start off with them saying they vote
for
themselves?
My notes. Like, I thought they were voting for themselves, and then they changed their mind.
I barely was able to get down who they actually voted for. You can't make jokes about who they voted for.
I'm sorry.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, I guess you can figure out who voted for whom. I think you should give the count. I think you should be like, it's 5 to 3 to 2 to 1.
By a vote of 5 to 2 to 1, Paulie and Natalie. You have to leave the Big Brother house.
That was definitely worth doing. It wasn't bad, though. It wasn't bad.
I'm deep in the Big Brother. It's bad. It's bad.
Big Brother contestants have already been on the show. Let's keep Big Brother out.
Fair.
I'm like 3 episodes behind.
The elimination itself. It was a pretty good one. I don't know. I don't catch the name of it. I'm usually good at that. I didn't catch it.
Think Outside the Box.
Is that what it was called?
It is what it was called. You think okay. I just made it up?
Who knows?
Don't box me in. Like, just.
That's another good name, honestly. Yeah. So their one partner was strapped to like a pull string, whatever it's called, bungee cord.
Pull string. There's a snake in my boot.
A bungee cord. You have to stretch out to grab big blocks of puzzles to pass to your partner in a cage, and you complete the puzzle.
I thought this was not bad for a co-ed comp until I saw the conspiracy tweets.
Yes, I saw those too.
The one I pulled is from Brian T. Gray, who tweeted at us in the duel. Paulie, I like calling it the duel, in the Armageddon, Paulie clearly had 4 bungees to Cam's 2 bungee. Is this common in mixed sex duels? Men shouldn't have to work twice as much resistance. Shouldn't have twice as much resistance. Cam is probably 90% of Paulie's strength unhandicapped.
I mean, I don't know how he got 90. That seems like pretty specific. But I do wonder if they'd had it weight based. That's very possible.
You think Paulie weighs twice as much as Cam?
I mean, they say it's 4 to 2, but who knows if that's actually the case? And who knows, like, the resistance on each. I don't know how the physics of it all.
Yeah, as I mentioned at the top of the first podcast, I've been working out and I have seen resistance bands. They're just different colors and you don't need to do like 5 extra bands. You'd think MTV would be like a little bit smarter in producing this, that they would just make it look the same with just different resistance rather than obviously having a deficit. But it really did look ridiculous that Paulie could barely move and Cam is like standing with slack in her line, basically, yeah, at the puzzle.
Yeah, that was odd. I mean, I thought it was very odd. I don't think they rigged it for her. I do think they could have, like, did it based off weight. They just didn't say, like, MTV does that type of stuff all the time, so who knows?
Yeah, I don't think it was rigged. I think it was a gross miscalculation of them trying to make it fair.
Right.
I do think they overcompensated and it was unfair. That's not to say that Cam isn't a beast and that wasn't hard for her, but it just looked ridiculous.
Yeah, she's got that 4.0.
Yeah. There was something else I wanted to say. Shoot. Because I did think overall that this was better suited for Polly and Natalie. Although maybe I'm just making a judgment call on Natalie's puzzle ability versus Kaylee's.
Yeah, well, as Joss tried to come up with but couldn't, she's not the sharpest tool in the shed.
I want you to just sing the rest of the song now.
That's a song?
That doesn't make you think of All Star by Smash Mouth?
The sharpest tool. Oh, yeah. That does not make me think of that. No.
But. All right. We're on fire. I'm definitely not going to listen to this podcast if there's any ever doubt. And it's not because of you. It's because of me.
No, it's not because of me.
No, it's not. If I think I'm good, I'll listen to it, even if I don't think you had a great day. No, I'm kidding. You never have a bad day.
I had a bad day.
Goddamn. We're being canceled. This whole thing is canceled.
This better not be one of the 10 podcasts Rob listens to.
You're spoiling.
It's called a tease.
It's foreshadowing.
Yeah, it's foreshadowing. Just like what's her name? Screwing over what's her name that I can't remember names.
I am just wheezing right now into the mic. All right, Cam and Kaylee win.
Cam and Kaylee win, yeah.
Do you care?
Yeah, Cara was about to start crying. That was sad to see. Marie's very happy.
Yeah, I love how Marie's like, my teammate lost an alliance member. Woo!
They're both just so dysfunctional. Like I didn't think that they would really despise each other this much, so they couldn't put it past it at all. But they're going down with the ship, and it's fun to watch.
I didn't like Cam saying karma always wins. Like, Natalie has a legitimate reason to not like Kaylee, and for Cam to be like, "You told me you wanted some," or like whatever she said. Like, maybe just like. Take it to the side.
Yeah. Take it to the side.
Also, that's not a song. Now you're just putting tunes to things. I created like a monster. I feel like for some reason you were thinking of the Cha-Cha slide, but that's
I think I was.
Take it to the side. Oh, God. That's what they're going to tell us when they cancel the podcast.
Oh, sheesh.
Don't at me. All right. The double cross is back, by the way. Yes. So I got something right.
You weren't imagining that.
I have eyes.
It's happening next week.
Are you surprised that they're having a team come back in so soon?
No, I think we're going to have one come in like every other week. Great. 2 steps back, 1 step forward.
What will happen first? I graduate from law school or the season ends?
Great question. Hopefully the season ends. But so are you. Like, so it seems like they're doing, like, only two teams even get to compete, which is a weird thing to do.
Well, I think everyone else is just going to rot at the Redemption House.
Oh, so they just continually stay there?
Or you think they clear out?
Yeah, I would think they reset the board.
Why would they want to get rid of Jemmy and Brittany at the Redemption House? They were made for the Redemption House.
Oh, my God. If you could just, that would actually be the best case then. If you could just stay at the Redemption House the entire season and then just come in at the last second, like, that's the life.
Well, they're stealing it from Survivor.
I know. That's what they always do.
I'm excited to see the double cross. I also like that it looks like a little mini double cross, which is cute.
Yes, like they used it for the finale.
Randy Newpool says, 3 episodes down. Also, Randy did a great job on the Big Brother covering the show I don't watch, TKO.
Well, that was really descriptive.
So good for you, Randy. Okay, I meant to tweet at you, but here I am just talking shit on my podcast. So Randy Newpool said, 3 episodes down and we are 1 normal round into the season. Are you guys looking forward to the finale around Christmas like I am?
Yeah, sounds about right. Thanksgiving honestly sounds about right.
Are you getting married before or after the season ends?
Ooh, that's another fun one. Close.
I won't be living here when the season ends. I was like, will I come face to face with the mouse again before the season ends? All right.
Live.
Before we get to Twitter, let's thank our 5-star reviewers. Again, just like when we got no responses for CPO and no 5-star reviews, we beg again, we arguably shame, and here we are with a lot of people to thank. So thank you. It is appreciated. Jeremy.
Tossing it out there. If you want to give us $1,000 every podcast, someone step up on that.
I don't want to pay taxes on that. Jeremy Lanchester. Is it Lancaster?
He's probably Lancaster.
But it's L-A-N-C-H-E-S-T-E-R.
And it's probably not Lancaster.
Lanster? Okay. Thank you, Jeremy. VO952, Crystal Marr, Katie Flip 619. And we have to take a moment amongst this nonsense anyway to thank Josh C. Spence, who wrote about 500 words, more than that. I can't copy and paste it. Wrote more than I've written ever. And I'm going to read a brief segment of it about the special guests that join us on the podcast from time to time. Reoccurring cast, Rob Cisternino, the founder and boss of RHAP, literally has no clue what's going on with the challenge or hap up. A lack of supervision from Rob is likely to be the only reason why the challenge or hap up is still up and running. 5 stars.
Drunk Ant.
Mike Bloom, you've seen this actor everywhere, but you can't seem to remember any of his previous roles. Haley Strong, Allie's her best friend. Nobody can say otherwise, not even Allie herself. Johnny Langan, Dane, Rourke, and others, the poor people who get dragged into this mess. Which I love how Johnny Langan, I call him Johnny Langan, is being written as Johnny Langan, first and last name.
Wait, is that not his name?
No, it is, but like Dane, Rourke... Like, they don't get last names.
Right.
Anyway, so thank you for that amazing review. It was very funny. We had a good laugh before we got on the air reading it.
Yes, very funny.
If you want to make us laugh, or listen to me cough, I don't know. Should we just scrap this and start over?
If we have to start this one over, I'm going to blow my brains out.
Okay. You can go to robsawebsite.com/challenge iTunes. Maybe skip this week.
If you made it this far, there's probably not much more to go.
All right. Let's rely on our digital communications manager, which sounds like a lower title than chief party officer, but has to actually have more seniority because she's been with us for a long time. Right. Megan Elizabeth, who we'll rely on her to lighten the mood here. This is exciting. I didn't look at this before we got on. Marie wrote an article about Kara on betches.com. So... you guys can look at that. All right. So some Twitter. T. Raines tweeted, at Shane is the messiest person I've ever met. Facepalm emoji. And then Shane wrote, you tagged the wrong Shane, Tony. Your brother is at the Shane Raines. That's awesome. And let's be honest. It's what I was thinking when I read the first Tony tweet.
Right.
Marie said, I hate the wolf hat more than Kara. What do you think of the wolf hat that Kara wears?
I could see it being really annoying.
Do you think Abram skinned it and gave it to her as a gift? So we get a little clarity or more suspiciousness where Kara says, PSA, Cam and Kaylee crushed it, killer teamwork, but Pauly was given 2 thicker and shorter bands because equalizer. He had the thing stretched to the max, but it was barely enough to grab a piece at MTV. Josiah said the resistance bands are looking tripled and thick. And then even Cody Calafiore, Pauly's brother, my brother Cody, got in on it and said, wait, so Cam was standing at the cage with slack on her bungee cord, but Pauly had none after 4 steps. L-O-L, spelled E-L-O-H-E-L, chin scratch emoji. And I am now going to have to just cry that Pauly, or that Cody Calafiore and I said the same thing.
2 brains, 1 mind.
Well, that makes me feel better because that was worse than saying the same thing that Cody said.
Oh, man.
That's it. There's more tweets, I feel like when you gotta call it sometimes, right? Yep.
You can follow us on Twitter, me at @ColinBryan_, you
at @LashTweets.
Subscribe at robswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. We'll be back next week for episode 4. Until then, have a good one.